again. One morning after Wells' usual jog around the UCLA track with Stanley Gold, he stopped at Gold's house in Beverly Hills and sat on the terrace. They had juice and coffee. Finally, Gold got up to shower and head to the office. "Time to go," Gold said. Wells didn't move. "I'm not going to work," he said. "What's the matter?" "I hate it. I hate Michael Eisner," he said. "I can't go in there anymore and take the shit." Gold yelled to the maid, "Mr. Wells will be spending the day here." He urged Wells to relax, unwind, and take his time. He knew he'd go back for the good of the company. That spring of 1993, Tony Schwartz called Eisner again, noting that September 22, 1994, would be the 10th anniversary of Eisner's arrival at Disney, a good time to reconsider the book that Schwartz had proposed. "I should have done it when you suggested this before," Eisner said, given the enormous success of his early years at Disney. He still had the tapes he'd been recording during that period, and he told Schwartz he'd consider it. Eisner later wrote that Schwartz's call came at a time when, for a variety of reasons, he was amenable to the suggestion. "We were enjoying success on a variety of fronts, movies, television, theme parks, and consumer products. It was tempting to keep doing things exactly the way we had. But rather than a sense of confidence, we felt a growing apprehension. The problem, we sensed, was that some of our executives were feeling not just complacent and self-satisfied, but bored and restless. The business equivalent of the seven-year itch was setting in. Writing a book, I suggested to Frank, my partner and Disney's president, might be one more way to keep our focus on the challenge at hand. If we committed our intentions to paper and faced a deadline, we'd feel more compelled to implement significant changes, even if they proved unsettling to the company in the short term. Above all, writing a book simply seemed like something fun to do, a new adventure." Eisner may also have had other reasons. Robert Sam Anson, a journalist best known for his reporting on the civil rights movement and from Vietnam, had just signed a contract to write an investigative book on Disney. Eisner's book might blunt the impact of Anson's book, if not preempt it altogether. Eisner later mentioned to Schwartz that he worried Katzenberg could conceivably make an alliance with Robert Sam Anson, according to Schwartz's notes. "Still, Jane tells me I'm crazy to do this," Eisner said to Schwartz when he called again to discuss the project further. After 5 months of negotiating, they reached a deal. Eisner would be the author and would retain absolute control over the content. Schwartz would receive a "With Tony Schwartz" credit. Eisner didn't want Schwartz to negotiate a contract with a publisher, even though, after the runaway success of Trump, The Art of the Deal, Schwartz felt he could have commanded an advance of $4 or $5 million for a book on Eisner and Disney. Instead, Eisner proposed that he pay Schwartz an equivalent amount. In later testimony, Eisner said he couldn't remember whether he paid Schwartz or Disney did. Then, when the manuscript was finished, Eisner would negotiate a publishing contract. Schwartz worried he was making a Faustian bargain, but in the end, he accepted Eisner's terms. As Euro Disney's fortunes were spiraling downward, Eisner continued to brood about his relationship with Katzenberg. Late in 1992, he'd called Ovitz. "I've got to get rid of